to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the Elders Meeting After Show, where we hang out to discuss theology and issues relevant to covenant members at Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri. It's like a Bible study, covenant members gathering, elders hangout, and talk show all wrapped up into one. And it's all about making disciples of Jesus Christ. So grab another cup of coffee and let's get started.
We're live.
Welcome to the Piney Pastors Podcast, the first and maybe only a video edition of this podcast. We'll see how it goes. We're using Skype to record this. And so we are thankful for technology that we are hopeful is going to allow us to do a podcast, even though we are not physically together. Since everyone's looking at us, maybe if they're watching the video, do we need to introduce ourselves? And how do we usually say to my left? So on my bottom right of the screen, Steve.
Oh, is that me? Is that me?
Yeah.
I'm Steve Hopped.
And the bottom left of my screen.
That's me, Jason Myers.
Yes. Although that may not be how it turns out in the video. We'll see. But
My screen, I'm stuck in the middle between you.
Yeah. So we'll see if the video even gets posted. We're just mostly hoping that the audio will work and we can post this on our regular podcast station. So what we want to talk about today is this reality that we are not able to gather on Sunday mornings for corporate worship. Which is something that we don't love. We're not thrilled to be at Piney Ridge Church. If you're not following along on Sundays, we've been pre-recording, pre-videoing sermons, and we've done some live musical worship, and first week we used Facebook Live, and then we've switched to YouTube Live, and we've led through communion using those platforms as well. So that's what we're doing, but we're not gathering together physically. This 2 days ago was our third Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Quote unquote gathering online. So I think maybe a good place to start, we want to talk about some of the struggles that we have with that, and especially as we look towards one of the most significant Sundays of the year, Easter Sunday. But maybe first it would be good to talk about why we don't just always gather online, you know, why we don't always just do our worship. We couldn't call them worship gatherings, but our worship times online. Because, you know, we could say if we're just looking pragmatically, it's convenient. We don't have to leave our houses. We can sit on our couches and we could wear our PJs. So why don't we think that that's something that we should have been doing all along? Why do we see it as a necessary sort of, a step down from – or several steps down, really, from what is ideal?
Well, first of all, the book of Hebrews tells us not to forsake assembling together. And I suppose the writer of Hebrews maybe couldn't see into the future and see that it would be possible to assemble together. It's really nice on this. Yeah, I can do air quotes and people can see them. Right. Technologically, but there is, I think, assembling together, worshiping corporately is a means of grace. And what we mean by means of grace, if you think of it as a pipe, you know, that God uses to send his grace to us, it is very encouraging to me to be in an auditorium with a couple hundred other believers and to sing together, to be singing to each other and to have those people sing to me, and to be able to shake hands and hug necks and ask, how are you doing? And to be able to pray with people. And All of those things are ways that God uses to build up the body of Christ. And I personally, for me, it is a huge blessing.
Yeah, yeah. I think it goes back to how we were created and what we will enjoy in eternity one day. Mm-hmm. I don't think we will have a virtual heaven. I don't think it'll be something where people of every tribe, tongue, language, nation in the world get together and say, hey, let's meet in our own homes and not actually be physically present with each other. I think that God made Adam and Eve in the garden and for fellowship with each other and with him physically to be present. And there was something about physically casting them out of the garden that is not good. It's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for us to... this isn't ideal. This isn't something we say, hey, this is what we would encourage. It's for people to meet in other ways under normal circumstances. And right. I think
one of the clearest evidences that we are made for an enfleshed kind of fellowship is the incarnation, that Jesus came. He didn't just send a video feed. He could have, the Trinity has access to that technology if he wanted to use that, but no, he took on flesh and came and dwelt among us and will for eternity. We will be with Jesus in the flesh, with him in the flesh. And, I agree. That's the kind of fellowship that we were created for.
Yeah, and I mean, Paul talks about that in his letters, about how he longs to be with them. He longs to see them, and he even talks about how his letters are a substitute, but mm-hmm. not a worthy one in one sense.
Right.
He says, yes, I want to be with you. And in 2 John, in verse 12, says, though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete.
Mm-hmm.
I think that says it well, is that
yep.
Amen.
We would rather not do this if we didn't have to. So this is not preferable. This is a temporary thing almost out of necessity. And one writer I read said that this is a compromise. We're not doing this because it's convenient. We're doing it because we need to change how we're doing things because of the current situation. And so it's not preferable.
Yep. Yeah. So gets into the other part of really what we wanted to address, which is, since we believe that God has created us to gather together in physical fellowship, since we are commanded to not forsake the gathering together of the saints, since we are, you know, we have these pictures in Acts 2 of the church gathering together to listen to the apostles' teaching, for prayer, breaking of bread. Why do we believe that right now we should not do that? Why have we come to the decision that we should stop meeting together right now and do something different? What are some of the scriptures, thought processes that led us to what we're doing right now? And then we can get specifically into why are we including we're not going to be meeting together on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
And so getting into why we think that this is a good idea for now to continue doing the online thing, even on such a significant Sunday, Easter Sunday.
Yeah, I think that there's several reasons, but the first one that comes to my mind is actually because of what we just said, that because the physicality of meeting together is important because God has made us physical beings. And it's not a bad thing that we're made with human flesh. Jesus, who knew no sin, took on human flesh. So there's nothing inherently evil about our fleshliness, our physicality, and in even in that, the fact that we're mortal beings. And so one of the ways that we show honor to God, one of the ways that we love other people.
Is there a plane flying over?
Somewhere.
Is it like a cargo?
I think that's mine. I think I had a truck drive by.
Okay.
But the one of the ways that we honor God is by loving other people. And one of the ways we love other people is by caring for them physically, caring for their physical health. And if we see this as, and I know not everybody does, but I think we could see this, and many of us do see this as a way to care for other people by protecting them, by not being around. There are some people who, if they got the coronavirus, it wouldn't really do much to them. Other people, it could kill them. And so we say, hey, this is one way that we can protect those who are and show love to those who are older or who have compromised immune systems. It's not a bad thing to embrace our mortality and the physical, the way that we can love people and their physicality is by protecting them from certain kind of viruses and germs. And this is one way to do that. And I think that's just one answer.
Yeah, and another answer is because our governor has told us not to. We have, you know, we have a couple places in the Bible where we are told to obey our governing authorities. One is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, which says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him, to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as free people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." And we believe that we are doing all of those things by not gathering together. We believe that we are fearing God, that we are honoring the brotherhood, and that we are honoring our authorities.
And real quick, that applies if the first thing that I said, the first answer for reason why we're not meeting together is because we want to show love and to protect those. And so even if someone disagrees with that and says, "I don't think it's that big of a deal, and I don't think that we're really protecting anybody," it's this still applies. What you just said, Steve, is that, right. All right, we still then see ourselves as honoring God by honoring our governing authorities.
Well, and then I know that a counter argument to that could be the passage in Acts 4 and the context of that. That verse is often taken out of context.
What's that verse?
What?
What verse is that?
In Acts 4, isn't that what I said?
Yeah.
Yeah, but what verse he was saying? Like we're at.
Well, I don't have any idea what verse it is. Let me turn to it and see.
Not everyone has the Bible memorized like you, Steve, so they might not know what Acts 4 is about.
It's a good thing that not everyone has it memorized like I do, because no one would have it very well memorized probably. But in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are preaching in the temple, and they heal a guy, and God heals a guy through them, and then they get in trouble with the Jewish religious leaders, and so they get hauled before them. And the Jewish religious leaders charge them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus.
Right.
And in response to that,
verse 18, by the way.
Thank you. And in verse 19 of chapter 4 in the book of Acts in the New Testament of the Christian Bible, Peter and John answer them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." Mm-hmm. This order that has come down from the governor is not prohibiting us from speaking or teaching in the name of Jesus. He has bent over backwards to say we are not trying to keep churches from having virtual broadcasts or or other things. I think they're not prohibiting us from doing what the Lord has commanded us to do. We can still teach the name of Jesus. We can still speak the name of Jesus virtually to our people. And so we do not, as an eldership, believe that the order that's been given by the governor is counter to the teachings of the Bible, that it is keeping us from doing what the Bible has commanded us to do. And so we believe that it is the will of God for us to obey our governing authorities in this case.
Yeah, and Steve, like you said, not only does it seem like that many of our politicians and governing authorities have been over backwards to make it clear that they're not picking on churches. This isn't like everybody else can meet except for Christians. Everybody else can, all these stores can meet except for, well, no, a lot of stores are shut down. A lot of businesses are shut down. but they've also gone out of their way to actually encourage virtual gatherings and saying, hey, we want you to still be able to do certain things as churches. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think this isn't antithetical to our Christian faith. But if you read 1 Peter 2 and Romans 13, we would say that this is actually one way we live it out, is we honor God and we trust him by submitting to our governing authorities when they're not calling us to do something that is damaging to the brotherhood or dishonoring to God.
Mm-hmm. Right. And by we are honoring God by trying to love our neighbors, like you're saying a little bit ago, Jason, in trying to protect those who are more vulnerable. And I read a report about some churches in China, in Wuhan, that they do face pressure from the government constantly.
Persecution.
Pressure not to meet. And normally they meet anyway because they believe that they should honor God rather than the government in that situation. Mm-hmm. However, for the sake of loving their neighbors, during the time where everyone was quarantined, they didn't meet. They did the same thing we're doing. They did, you know, virtual gatherings. They used Zoom or whatever because they don't see it as the same thing. They see this as we're providentially hindered from meeting. And so for the sake of loving our neighbors, mm-hmm. we're not going to meet during this time. And I know that, you know, even there's not the same level of pressure in Indonesia. But I know churches there are, there is some level of persecution and pressure. They normally say, no, we are going to obey God rather than man. We're going to continue to meet. But during this time, they're saying, no, for love of neighbor, we are going to gladly submit to the government's direction here because we think it's wise and loving. So,
well, and I would say that's leads into the third reason why we would not be meeting right this time, not only because we want to love other people, not only because we want to submit to our governing authorities, but right before 1 Peter 2:13, where it talks about subjecting ourselves to our governing authorities, every human institution, verse 12 says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. I don't think that if we met and we gathered together anyway as a civil disobedience, that it would be seen as loving or as a good witness to Christ to our community at all. I think, in fact, it would do some damage to what we are trying to do and how we are trying to spread the truth about Christ. And if we say, Jesus loves you, and God has sent his son into this world to die for sinners like you, and we want to express that love for you, and they say, yeah, but everything you're doing right now seems to be the exact opposite. They wouldn't feel loved by our actions. And so I think it would be a very damaging thing to our witness. And if we're going to keep our conduct among the Gentiles honorable, I think this is one way we do that. I think actually that's why verse 13 follows. One of the ways that we keep our conduct among the Gentiles honorable is by subjecting ourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I think that is important to remember, because even for those who, and just, we know that even within our congregation and definitely within the Christian population in the United States, there are differing opinions about, you know, the severity and seriousness of this situation. Some people think the government is not even doing enough right now. Things should have been clamped down earlier. Everything should be shut down. Other people are on the total other end of the spectrum and would say, oh, this is all overkill. This isn't even real. This is no more serious than the flu, and so on. And so we recognize that there are a variety of views on this, and yet we want to uphold the name of Christ in our community. And so for us to act in a way that would appear unloving to probably the majority of people doesn't seem like a wise or good thing for us to do.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think that that what you talked about, Nathan, how people have different views on this, just the issue of conscience needs to be upheld here, to where if what we are doing is damaging the conscience of others by, for instance, if we said we're going to meet, and if you're not meeting with us, then you are less spiritual. You have less faith in Christ. You have you're submitting to man and not to God. If we started making that an issue, like it was a hard line between the two and not a matter of, no, this is just people can have a different opinion, all these things. But here are the reasons why we as the elders of Piney Ridge Church are doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I think it would be really damaging to people. Hurtful, unnecessarily, mm-hmm. unloving to your brothers and sisters in Christ. So in order to love the brotherhood, I think the one way we see this is you don't have to agree with mainstream news. You don't have to agree with the way government's handling everything. You don't even have to agree with with us as the elders of, hey, this is the best and most right thing to do. But there's still a way to love each other by respecting each other's views, mm-hmm. and how we're handling it is coming from a right heart. Because I think that that's the other part of this, is that I think just about every Christian that I know of that would that would want to meet right now is doing so for the right reasons. Like we said in the very beginning, that it's because we long to be together. We prefer that. We'd rather be face to face. We'd rather there's a benefit and a blessing to being together physically, and yeah. we see that, we long for it. And yeah. If this wasn't a temporary thing, it might be a different story for many people. It's something that it's right for us to long for it to be different, and to Amen. Pray for God to speed up the recovery of things so that we can meet together again.
Amen.
So I think it's good to long for it. The way we handle it in the process though needs to be both respectful and loving to each other, and to, the pastors of local churches, and to the governing authorities of our city, state, and country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and because we do, we value and we also long for that more intimate, more personal kind of fellowship and gathering, we did talk about different ways that we could possibly, recognizing the significance of Easter Sunday for our faith, for our church. We did talk about some different ways that maybe we could gather at least more closely together than through video. And so the very first week when things started coming through, you know, no gatherings. I think initially it was greater than 50 people. And even at that point, I started thinking, okay, Easter's coming soon. It doesn't look like this is going to be over by then. I wonder if we could do an outside gathering with more people. Just try to keep some distance. They're saying, you know, it's at that point, there wasn't so much talk about this being an airborne thing. It was all about just wash your hands and, you know, talking mm-hmm. about it being transmitted through surfaces. But then as a week or so went by, then, you know, the limitation is to gatherings of 10 or more than 10. And it became more clear that this was airborne, and so even the possibility of gathering outside became less likely. So then we looked at something that some churches have done, which is to do kind of a drive-in church, some places are calling it, where we would people would drive in, and we would have an FM radio transmitter, and we would sing and preach through that transmitter. People could just tune into it, and there's a few challenges with that, but the biggest one is that a whole lot of churches are trying to do that right now, and so a week and a half ago, when we looked for a transmitter, there were none to be found. Domestic stocks are depleted because everybody is trying to do this, and they mostly come from China, which trade is limited right now with China. And so, yeah, we could not get a transmitter by Easter Sunday, even if we can make all the other things work out. Even we've talked again about just the possibility of doing something outdoors, and we had a lot of property, and couldn't we just spread out? But what were some of the difficulties with that you guys see?
Well, one is that the forecast for Sunday, Easter Sunday, is an 80% chance of rain.
Right.
Yeah, that's one of them. I think another is the logistics of having how do you separate families and keep the distance, especially with little kids wanting to run around and being outside. And it's a totally different environment. And kids, when they're outside, are used to running around. So how do you do that in a well-organized fashion where it's more important to stay in your lane and stay in your area, even if we were to do like paint grids, on the field in the back of the church property and have everybody in these 10-foot sections, it'd be really difficult to keep them all there. And then spreading that out and then having people to be heard through all that. I think some of the practical logistics would be hard. But we had also talked about a similar problem with what we would say if we're just gathered in a building now. If we had a bunch of cars just pulling into the church property and going out there to meet, and people saw that, there would be not much ability or time to explain, and a lot of people just wouldn't want to hear it. And I just was looking at Facebook in my for my own subdivision, and somebody was saying that they're not okay with taking walks. They don't want people being outside at all, anywhere near them. And so some people have different, you know, there's, like you said, there's different levels of fear and and just thoughts on how to handle this. But for some people, they could say, you know what, okay, fine, I could see you're going on a walk, but when you have 100, 200 people gathering together, it would seem, even if you could make it everybody in their own area, there's not a way to communicate that and convey that to the population, to our community, that we are really trying to do our best to you know, navigate these waters well. And
I think they would just see it as careless, foolish, and unloving.
And we want to have that a witness in front of our community that says that we honor God by obeying our governmental officials.
Right.
And I think if we tried to force that issue right here, let's say, hey, this Sunday, we're all going to get together, we're all going to do this, I think there'd be many of our people who would say, I don't really feel comfortable with doing that. Even if you thought it was allowed, even if we thought it was worthwhile in the sense of to do kind of something that would be frowned upon by most people, they wouldn't feel comfortable. So I don't think we'd have that many people. And I think the it might be more advantageous at this point to help people, to our own church people, to worship by doing something virtually, because I think that we don't have the capability of live streaming from our church property like we would want to. And so just the technological abilities or lack thereof would keep us from that. Mm-hmm. And then the other part is that there are other churches in the there was a church in St. Louis that tried to do that very thing or something very similar, to do an outdoor gathering where they did keep people at the legal social distancing, and the governing authorities still said, no, that you're not allowed to do that. And so in, again, they would come down to, if we think we're obeying the governor's laws, would they see that as the right application of what they've laid out, the orders that have been laid out? So,
right. Yeah. And because there is, well, we're in St. Charles County, there's been a stay at home order in effect for a while, but now it's statewide. And so, it really does seem like it would come down to we would have to be directly saying it is worth it to defy the government, on this issue. And so we would have to be firmly convinced of that, I think, in order for us to, mm-hmm. to even, attempt it. And you know, and we've talked about this, talked with the deacons about it. And they're all fully in agreement that it just wouldn't be a wise thing to try to gather there on a Sunday morning. Now, if this goes on for a couple more months and we're not able to gather, I think it's likely that we might revisit the conversation about trying to get hold of a transmitter and maybe gathering in cars on the parking lot, and doing it that way, just to gather as closely as we can, but still in a safe way. But even then, we'll have to consider, you know, what do we communicate to the neighborhoods around and to the city?
How?
And how do we do that? But that could be an ongoing conversation, but it's definitely not something that can happen by Easter Sunday.
And it's also possible that we have not exhausted all the different possibilities of different ways of gathering. And so we are desirous of gathering together as intimately as, you know, as possible, that we are prayerful that either we wait for this order, social distancing order, to be over, or God gives us another idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, do you guys have any final thoughts you want to share on this before we wrap it up?
Yeah, I just want to say, Piney Ridge Church, that I miss you. And I look forward with great anticipation to the day when we can all gather together again.
Amen.
Yes,
I echo that.
Absolutely. Amen. Yeah, and I am I'm hopeful and prayerful that this time that we've not been able to gather together is reawakening, or maybe awakening for the first time for some, the realization of how precious and special it is to be able to gather together for worship. And
amen.
It's always easy when we have free access to something to take it for granted. And sometimes it's when that thing is taken away from us that we realize what a privilege and a blessing it was. So I'm praying that God is doing that for many of us, and hope this has been helpful for everyone. We're open to hearing thoughts, questions on this. So you can reach out to us through the normal channels. You can call us or email us at prcpastors@pineridgechurch.org. And we would love to hear from you.
Thank you for listening. We have a new podcast each week, so be sure to subscribe on iTunes. For more information about Piney Ridge Church in Wentzville, Missouri, visit us online at pineyridgechurch.org. That's P-E-I-N-E, ridgechurch.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Piney Ridge. That's all for today. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning.